Amazingly, starting this podcast has broken me out of my reading slump, and I've actually been reading a decent amount this week. When I filmed the first episode, I didn't film it. I keep saying I filmed it. This is the second time I'm like recording this because it sounded awful the first time. And I said filmed then as well. Why do I keep doing that? Anyway, when I recorded the first episode, I was in such a reading slump. I hadn't read properly in a long time. Like when I was talking about Hamnet, and I was like, yeah, I've only read 15 pages of it. That's because I just could not physically read more, even though I was enjoying it. I've been reading a lot of The Sun in Splendor today, and by a lot, I mean about 30 pages. I'm bad at reading. I have a book podcast, but I'm awful at reading a lot of one book. Most of my reading is like, I read a lot today because I read 10 pages from 10 different books, so that adds up to 100. But I read a quite pivotal scene, and it reminded me that I keep on accidentally ruining historical fiction for myself because of it's all my own fault. Essentially, a lot of the time I will know what's going to happen when I read historical fiction. Like, I know a lot about the Tudors, so I know everything that's going to happen in Wolf Hall, but I don't know much about Richard III's life and about that era, so it's all a surprise to me. But I also had this thing when I'm reading historical fiction that I need to know exactly who the people are, because otherwise I'll just sort of vaguely remember them from history class and be like, God, who is this? Who is this? So I'll like look them up on Wikipedia and then see when they die. And then be like, oh shit, they die in this scene that's about to come up. Like, oh, they're all talking about a big battle. And hey, they died in a battle in this year. So they're going to die. And I've just spoiled it for me, even though you can't spoil it because it's just history. But I feel betrayed. Though a more happy thing that happened today is I started reading So Sad Today by Melissa Broder. It's a collection of personal essays, and it mostly focuses on her mental health and her relationships with sort of herself, her family, the people she's dating. It's written in a really, really colloquial tone. I'm only maybe 50 or so pages in. I've not read that many of the essays. I think I've read 3 or 4, but they are really, really good so far. It's just really refreshing to see something that's sort of portrayed so honestly and so openly vulnerable, but that's also written beautifully. Another fun thing that happened is I ordered Girl, Woman, Other, and I'm really, really excited to read it. I was in the bookshop today and I saw a copy of it and I read the blurb. It looks amazing. It said that it spans a whole century and it follows, I think, 12 different women. And I was like, shit, that sounds so cool. I'm very glad that the blurb interested me so much, because I ordered it without really knowing anything apart from that it won a massive award. And I thought, you know, that's a good enough reason to order this. I'll give it a go. I did the thing again where I was buying something on Amazon, and I hate myself for buying things on Amazon. I do it really rarely, honestly, but I've just been doing it more often recently because of coronavirus. But yeah, what happened last time happened again. The delivery was really expensive, but if I spent a little bit more money, it would be free. So the order actually turned out less expensive if I bought a book with it. And I saw Girl, Woman, Other, and I thought, yeah, that could be cool. The other thing I ordered was The Witcher 3, because recently I've become obsessed with open world RPGs, which is something I'm kind of ashamed of. Please understand the context. My relationship has become long distance, so I think I'm subconsciously embracing the incel gamer guy lifestyle. Like, I'm gonna start a 4chan account. I'm gonna get Reddit. Get ready for that. I'm going to start unironically posting rage comics. That's what I'm going to do. That's a reality now. If you follow me on social media, sorry, but like not sorry. Since we're on the topic of disappointments, I finished Once Upon a River. Last episode I said I'd probably give it either 3 stars or 2 stars. I gave it 2 stars because it was always going to be something that I didn't like that much, but it got worse, like significantly worse in the last 100 or so pages. Essentially, the plot finally happened, but it was boring and predictable. Essentially, just the villain of the story finally decided to intervene and take the child away from the family that adopted her. Then everything ends happily eventually. A ton of irrelevant stuff happens. The last 100 pages just dragged on. I just could not be interested in it at all. Again, I think another thing was that the stakes still didn't feel very high, because even when the child had been taken away by the villain, she was given to his parents. She was staying on his parents' farm, and his parents were like the nicest people ever. So it's like, oh no, the child is living a really happy life, and the people who live on the farm, they are completely open to just giving her back at any point because they don't think their son's really fit to be a dad. Like, what are the stakes here? It's so stupid. The ending also really highlighted how one-dimensional all the characters are. Like, morally, they are either perfect or evil, like the worst people you've ever seen in your life. And it's just ridiculous, because you don't feel connected to any of the characters, because the villains aren't convincing, because they have no motivation whatsoever. Literally, there's 2 main villains. Their origin story is they were both just kind of horrible the whole time. They had no clear thing in their past. There was no clear event that made them like this. One of them didn't even really have a backstory. And the other one's backstory was just like, yeah, he wasn't very nice ever. He was really mean as a child and he always lied. And he grew up and is still like that. But he does more damage now because he's an adult and has influence. And the other character, who wasn't even given a backstory, like, he just kind of exists. All we really know about him is his name is Victor and he's a manlet. Like, that's all we know. Oh, and he wears a coat. And he's mean and horrible for no reason. I'm not exaggerating at all. Right at the end, he literally just goes on a monologue about how evil he is and how the other villain, who, spoiler alert, is his son, is also evil. And because he's his son, and who cares about the nature versus nurture argument and nuance, Diane Setterfield is like, no, you're either perfect or awful, and the mean people are gonna drown in the river, and then I'm gonna wax poetic about how the river has claimed other souls and the river knew that they were bad. Oh my god, this book. Oh my god, I'm disappointed in it, but my expectations were quite low to begin with because the reviews I saw weren't that good, but I thought it can't be that bad. The concept sounds decent. The concept wasn't there. So now I finished the book, there still was like nothing about medical discovery in Victorian England and the ethics of that. And that's where we're talking about the one scene where the nurse makes the photographer, who she kind of has a romance plotline with, like, stand in the river when he's like not wearing anything, and then she takes his temperature and looks to see if his pulse has slowed down. because she wants to see if that would explain why the girl's pulse had stopped when she first washed up. That's literally all we get. That's the Victorian medical discovery, which was meant to be a key theme of the book. Great content. Thank you, Diane Setterfield. Very nice. It kind of reminds me of another historical fiction book that I was really disappointed by. And this one, unlike Once Upon a River, actually hit hard because I was expecting to love it. I was expecting it to be a 5-star read. Whereas with Once Upon a River, I kind of instantly knew it would be a 4-star at most. I started it and thought it would be a 3-star. And then it disappointed me further. But the book that really made me sad when I saw that it wasn't that great was The Familiars, which I read, I think, in January time. Yeah, I read it in January. The basic synopsis of The Familiars is that there's this 17-year-old gentrywoman called Fleetwood who has had, I think, 2 miscarriages, and she's pregnant again, and she discovers that when she next gives birth, if it's another miscarriage or if anything goes wrong, she will die. Like, she'll likely die. And she sort of befriends a woman who she finds wandering around in the forest by her house. And this woman knows a lot about sort of healing. She uses like herbs and things and is able to give her medicine for the pain she's having with her pregnancy, and becomes, I think, her midwife. It is, yeah. But then the woman is accused of being a witch. So she's imprisoned and awaiting trial, and it's sort of like she's going to be executed probably, because it's in Pendle, the Pendle witch trials, which were actually, I think, some really infamous witch trials, but we don't get anything about that, really. The book essentially devolves into Fleetwood running back and forth, trying to solve the mystery of why this woman is innocent and not a witch and wasn't doing devil worshipping, as opposed to what I thought it was going to be, which is a look into gender roles and experiences in the Stuart era. Wasn't anything about that. It was just Fleetwood running about being like, oh no, she's my friend and also my midwife, and if she dies, I'm going to be sad and I will probably die. Like, I thought it was going to be cool, like, exploration into the motivations behind the witch trials and the hatred of women that was ingrained in society at the time, but apparently not. I ended up giving the book 3 stars, so it wasn't as bad as Once Upon a River, but it was just disappointing because I thought it was going to be a 5-star book. Though it definitely had potential, I just think it didn't live up to what I wanted it to be, but maybe the blurb was written in a way that was just a bit vague. Maybe Stacey Halls wanted it to be marketed more as a plot-driven action type thing, as opposed to a feminist historical fiction novel, though I'm not sure. Maybe she did think she was writing a great feminist masterpiece. I hope not, because it wasn't. But she has a new book out, I think around September time, and it's called The Foundling, I believe. And I think I'll give it a go. It'll be interesting. I like historical fiction anyway. Like, even if it's bad, I still love reading it. Like, Once Upon a River was so boring, but I derived so much joy from ripping it to shreds in my mind as I was going along and being like, oh god, this is so stupid. Oh my god, it got even more stupid. It's just really fun. Like, sort of like watching bad films. Something that I'm actually very ashamed of is about a year ago, I read 50 Shades of Grey. I thought it would be funny, like funny bad, but it was just terrible. It was boring. I remember reading like the first 100 pages and I was like, God, when are we going to get to the sex scenes? They're going to be really, really funny. Can we please get to a sex scene? And then I got to the first sex scene and they're just as boring as the rest of the book. It was just, it's horrible. I thought I'd have so many things to make fun of, but instead, I think I just unlocked new levels of sadness. I really hit a low point while reading that. Like, I wasn't even able to, I'm not even considering reading the other ones. There's a new one out where it's told from Christian's perspective. I saw it in the bookshop the other day, but I can't read it. I can't do that to myself again. It's not worth it for like the free, really funny, meme-worthy moments, because the rest of the book is just drier than all my history textbooks put together. Feel free to message me, by the way, if you'd be interested in hearing a full review of 50 Shades of Grey, or just a massive rant about it. By massive, I mean like a quarter of an hour, because I don't want to kill everyone's brain cells, because I think I lost at least half my brain cells after reading that book. I don't want to do that to you. But yeah, I'd happily do an episode where I just talk about whatever the hell was happening in that book, because there were a couple of moments that were the funniest things I think I've ever read. One springs to mind particularly, and it involved Britney Spears. It wasn't included in the film, but it, fucking Britney Spears, oh my god, yeah, just to hear me talk about that part would be worth it. I think 50 Shades of Grey should have gotten an award for that scene. If you haven't read it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have read it, you do know and you agree with me. I think this is a good point to wrap up this episode, because I do want to keep them to around 20 minutes at a maximum, because otherwise I just feel like it will go on for too long. People will get bored. They'll lose interest, because I know I do around the 20 minute mark of podcasts like this where it's just somebody talking. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be playing really cringy music at the end. I'm going to find a great track, a great royalty-free podcast track to fade out on. So stick around for that. And yeah, that's about it. I'll see you.